Morning, everybody. Really been looking forward to sharing on this passage with you, because if you needed some good news this morning, then you're in the right place, because we're going through Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and this letter contains good news for the whole cosmos, for everything and everybody. Amen. Now, I wonder if you have ever sung that classic old Christian hymn, Count Your Blessings. Anyone here sung that before? Yeah, okay, well, it is pretty old, so I wouldn't be surprised if some of you haven't. But the chorus goes like this. We can go on to the next slide there. Emily, thanks. The chorus goes, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Now, the reason why I bring that super old Christian hymn up for this is because whenever I read Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 14, I think of this hymn. I think of counting my blessings, counting our blessings, and mainly because of how this passage starts in verse 3. Blessed be God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Might this passage be about blessings, about how God has blessed us? You bet it's about that. And the rest of the passage tells us precisely what those awesome blessings are, so that we can go through them and count them as blessings that God has given us. And we're going to get to that in a moment. But first, I need to emphasize what the passage emphasizes. The most important words in the passage, and those are the words, in Christ, in Christ. Last week, our preacher, Howard, told us to all go home and read through the book of Ephesians and count how many times the words in Christ appear in Ephesians, or a variation of being in Christ, of union with Christ. And here, in these 12 verses, we have them 11 times. 12 verses, 11 repetitions. We've got in Christ, through Jesus Christ, in the Beloved, in Him, in Christ, on Christ, in Him. If repetition indicates importance, and it does, then being in Christ is of utmost importance in this passage. It's what this passage really is about, being in Christ. And so as we look at every blessing, well, we won't look at them all, but six of the blessings in this passage, you'll see that every blessing is connected to being in Christ. So I'm going to speak on six of the blessings. I'm just going to say what they are, and then I'll circle back and comment quite briefly on each one. Obviously, we could do a six-week sermon series on this, but I'm going to do it just this morning. So, firstly, purpose. Verse 4, He chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless. Secondly, privilege. Verse 5, He destined us for adoption as His children through Jesus Christ. Thirdly, freedom. In Him, verse 7, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Fourthly, insight, verse 9, He has made known to us the mystery of His will set forth in Christ. Fifthly, hope, verse 11, in Christ we have obtained an inheritance. And sixthly, surety. Verse 13, when you believed in Him, you were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. And so, indeed, in this passage, we can count our blessings, purpose, privilege, freedom, insight, hope, and surety. Now, I'd like to just comment on each of these. And there's much, 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 much more to say about each one, but I'm just going to highlight a very small aspect of each one. So we're just skimming the surface, really. So firstly, purpose. Christ gives purpose to creation. And that purpose is that creation would be holy and blameless. Now, when we hear those words, holy and blameless, I think that sometimes we can think of sort of some boring legalistic call to a life of careful rule keeping. If that's what you hear when you hear the words holy and blameless, then I'm afraid you're wrong. It's not that. It's about an exciting, loving call to a life of total transformation. And not a life that is being only transformed, but a life that is transforming the world around it. Because in Christ, because of Christ, we get to, as Paul puts it in Philippians 2 verse 15, shine like stars. That's our purpose, to shine like stars. Amen? Amen? Amen. Secondly, privilege. Christ gives privilege to creation. And that privilege is that we get to be called children of God. We are part of God's family. And so as Paul says in Romans 8 verse 15, we get to call God Abba. And that's a term of close relational endearment. It's like saying Papa or Daddy. We have this close, wonderful relationship with our Creator. That's our privilege, that we are part of God's family. Amen? Thirdly, freedom. Christ gives freedom to creation. He sets creation free from its bondage. We are set free from the power of evil, and we are set free from the shame of sin and guilt. Christ, on behalf of creation, has conquered evil, has conquered sin. And so therefore, as Paul puts it in Romans 8, we are more than conquerors. And as Paul puts it in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are free from the oppression of the evil one, and we are free from the condemnation of our sin. Amen? These are good blessings, right? I hope as I go through them, you're being built up in your spirit with a sense of joy over what God has done for us in Christ. This is my favorite one at the moment. Insight, the fourth one. Christ reveals a great mystery to creation. And that mystery is in verse 10. God's plan. What's God's plan? Well, God's plan is to gather up all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. That blows me away. That verse is the reason why I've titled this series Good News for the Whole Cosmos. That leaf, that star, that person, that galaxy, that Jew, that Gentile, that insect, that nebula, that flower, this universe, it's all going to be gathered up in Christ. And we know this because in Christ, God united his divinity with our humanity. And so therefore, God is totally committed to his creation, totally. And therefore, everything in creation is sacred. There is no part of this creation that is not going to be gathered up in Christ. Every blade of grass and burning star will be gathered up in Christ. Everything will ultimately find its place in Christ and in relation to Christ. And we get to know this. This is the knowledge that we live with, that we wake up with and go to bed with at night and live our days with. And so I think, along with the mystic Julian of Norwich, we can confidently live our lives saying, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well. Why? Because it's all going to be gathered up in Christ. Amen? Oh, I want to say more about that. But hope. Christ gives hope to creation. Verse 11 says, in Christ we have also obtained an inheritance. That is, we have something to look forward to, not only something to look forward to, something to enjoy right here, right now, but also something to look forward to. In Romans 8, verse 17, Paul calls us co-heirs with Christ. We are co-heirs. That is, Christ is our brother, and we, along with Christ, are entitled to inherit the family estate. And what's the family estate? Well, in Matthew 5, verse 5, Jesus tells us that we will inherit what? The earth. We will inherit the earth. Think about that. That is the new heavens and the new earth. That's what we are entitled to as the children of God. We have this hope. That's some inheritance, right? That's huge. Christ has assured us that we will all have everything that the firstborn in the family is entitled to. Christ, as it were, in a manner of speaking, is the firstborn. We are his brothers and sisters, and we too will inherit all things. Amen? Good news. Sixthly, and finally, at least for this morning, surety. Christ gives surety to creation. Surety is, you know, how do we know? Well, we know because Christ gives us surety, and that surety is a person, and that person is the Holy Spirit. This just blows my mind. We are not just in Christ. Christ is in us. Wow. Paul says in Colossians 1 verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's another mystery that Christ has revealed. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so we are signed, we are sealed, and we are in delivery. We are being delivered. Signed with the blood of Jesus, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and in delivery. Amen. Amen. So there you have it. Six wonderful blessings for you to count every day when you wake up. And so I want to encourage you, count your blessings, believer, because they are extraordinary. So all this, to what end? Where is this all headed? Where is this going? Well, the answer is the simple and profound words, God's glory. Just two words, God's glory. In three places in this passage, Paul emphasizes this. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace. Verse 12, for the praise of his glory. Verse 14, to the praise of his glory. God is glorious. He just is. He is glorious. And that glory is most acutely revealed in Christ and in what Christ has done. And this reminds me of another classic hymn. We almost sang it this morning, but we didn't, and we're not going to. So I'm just going to read it. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Give him the glory. Great things he has done. Amen. Amen. So the glory of God is the end to which all this is the means. But still I want to ask, but why? Why? I know the glory of God is the goal, but why has God done all that he has done? God could glorify himself in another way. Why this way? And I think that the answer is because of who God is. Simply because of who God is. God is love. God is good. God is gracious. These intrinsic characteristics of God are peppered throughout our passage. Verse 4, in love he destined us. Verse 5, we are adopted according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed. Verse 7 and 8, we are redeemed and forgiven according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. Verse 9, we have insight according to his good pleasure. So, God is love. God is good. God is gracious. That's just who God is. And that's why we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It's not that we've done something to manipulate God, to twist God's arm into forcing God to give us these things. Not at all. It's that God is the giver. And God freely gives and gives and gives. That's why there's a creation. Creation is the overflow of God's generosity, God's giving. It's in his loving nature to give and to be generous. So it's no wonder that Paul starts out this passage with a doxology, which is a word of praise, where he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Indeed, let us bless his holy name. There's another of the newer hymns that I want to quote this morning. I think it's called 10,000 Reasons. It's not that new anymore, I guess. I'm getting older. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship his holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, then we must now, well, I want to ask now, what now? What do we do now? You've heard this, so what? Well, Paul only gets to the therefore in Ephesians in chapter 4. So that's how Ephesians is structured. Chapter 1, 2, and 3 are, this is what God has done for you and for all of creation. Chapter 4, 5, and 6, therefore, this is how you should then live. It's going to be a couple of weeks before we get to chapter 4. So I want to ask this morning, in light of this passage, verses 3 to 14 of chapter 1, how are we going to go out into our day, into our week, into our lives? We must always RSVP to God's word. It's not enough that we just hear it and store it up as information. We actually need to respond to it and live it out in our lives. So I've got three suggestions. Firstly, obviously, let's praise God. Let's praise God not just here, but out there in our day, wherever we are. Let us sing words to God like this. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Christ brings purpose, privilege, freedom, insight, hope, and surety to creation. How can we not praise God? How can we but that's what we're made for. And so let's praise God. Secondly, and really importantly from this passage, let us constantly remember who we are. Let us not forget who we are. Evil will come this week and tell us that life is meaningless. Christ tells us that we have purpose. Evil will come this week and tell us that we are nobodies. Well, Christ tells us that we are God's children. Evil will come this week and tell us that we are condemned slaves. Well, Christ tells us that we are forgiven and free. Evil will come and tell us that we are ignorant to the purposes of God in this world. Christ tells us, no, that we are in the know. We know what God is on about in this world. God is about getting all things, gathering all things up in Christ. Evil will come and tell us that we are alone and that, bless you, we are deluded. Christ tells us, no, we are not deluded. We are signed, we are sealed, and we are being delivered. Amen? Amen. This is our identity in Christ. And we need to keep waking up in the morning and reminding ourselves of who we are in Christ. And we need to not let evil tell us who we are. We need to let Christ tell us who we are. Thirdly, I'd say most importantly, let us stay connected to Christ. And this brings us back full circle to the most important words of this passage, and those words are in Christ. Christ is the conduit of God's blessings to creation. And as I said, everything finds its place inside Christ and in relation to Christ. And so that's why I say that our third response needs to be abide in Christ. Stay in Christ. Verse 13 of our passage tells us that it is when we heard the message and believed that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit and Christ came in us. And so let us keep hearing. Let us keep believing and let us stay connected to Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me pray. Lord God, thank you for this passage. And I know that I've only just skimmed the surface. But I do pray that by your Spirit and for your glory, you would take the words that I've spoken today, that you would plant them deep down in our minds and hearts and cause them to grow up and bear fruit in our lives today and this week and in our lives going forward. And I do pray, Lord, that you would just fill us afresh with your Spirit for the challenges that lie ahead today and this week. And help us to live for you. Help us abide in Christ. We thank you, we praise you and worship you for all you have given us in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.